Right, well, let's play then, eh? Lord, it's good to be able to sing your praises, to share things together. And Lord, we've come to the Bible. Lord, these are stories nearly 2,000 years old, Lord. And yet, Lord, again, I just say, Lord, people haven't changed. The same old ways, same old foolish things, and the same wonderful Jesus. So I pray, Lord, you'll bless us as we look at it now. And help us, Lord, to understand how to share our faith, Lord, with people who don't know anything about you. Help us, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. We're in Acts chapter 17. It's called Acts of the Apostles. That means that's what the apostles were, the people who were sent out by Jesus. That's what apostle means, sent out ones. And they were going and telling people what Jesus had done. So we go to chapter 17. And we get first to a place called, and it depends on whether you're American or not, Thessalonica or Thessalonica.
Oh, wow.
Right, but Thessalonica is the way I pronounce it. And they pass through various towns, some great names here. They pass through Amphipolis and Apollonia, and they came to Thessalonica. Yeah, Thessalonica was a big city, and it had quite a large Jewish population. That's the interesting thing about this one. When they get there, there was a Jewish synagogue. Well, are there any synagogues that aren't Jewish, I'd like to know? Probably not, but the idea is you've got a feeling there's quite a few Jews around. To build a synagogue, you need quite a few people, right? Yeah. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue on three Sabbath days, and he reasoned with them from the scriptures. So he went in for 3 weeks. That's three Sabbath days, 3 weeks. What day was it on?
Saturday.
Friday evening, Saturday. Saturday he probably went in, yeah? So he went in on Saturdays. Why did he go on Saturdays?
Because
when the Jews were there. That's right, yeah. They celebrate Sabbath, on Shabbat, on the Saturday, yeah. Right. So he went in there and he reasoned with them from the scriptures. So they had a Bible, he had a Bible, and they talked together. Just like we're doing, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he reasoned from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ, that's the Messiah. He would have used the word Messiah. The Christ is the Greek name for that, yeah? That the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. Yeah? So he used the Bible to explain that somebody called the Messiah was supposed to die and rise from the dead. They missed that bit. All they thought was Messiah was going to come as the king and thrash everybody. Yeah, but the first bit is he had to come and die first. Yeah?
It's the Old Testament, wasn't it?
It's the Old Testament. That's all they got. No New Testament, yeah. This Jesus I proclaim to you, this Jesus I'm proclaiming to you is the Messiah, the Christ, he said. Now some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks, Greeks, I said there, Greeks, and not a few prominent women. In the synagogue, there's the Jewish group, then there's a load of Greeks who are God-fearers. They believe in God, instead of all the pagan stuff.
They went to the synagogue.
They went to the synagogue. They were welcome to the synagogue because they believed in the Jews' God. Yeah? God welcomes people who believe in him. That's good, isn't it? Yeah? So they were there, and it says, amongst that group of people, there were some prominent women. They were sort of, well, powerful women in the community, I suppose. Not a few prominent women. I mean, it's quite a lot.
Mm.
Yeah? And so, out of this community, there was quite a large number of people that believed what Paul said, that Jesus was the Messiah that he'd been promised to be, yeah? Problem. Typical, that's people for you. But the Jews were jealous. Now, it wasn't all the Jews, because some of them were believed. But who the Jews are talking about is the people in charge. Yeah? The rabbis and the people who are, you know, the top brass. Because they get jealous. When God blesses a lot of people, and an outsider at that, ooh, bad, isn't it? So, they rammed, now what about this? This is supposed to be godly people. See what they do? They rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. So they got a whole bunch of, you know, you go uptown now, and you see some lads, and, you know, they're kicking their heels, wanting a bit of fun. So that's what they did. They got a bunch of blokes together, said, let's have a bit of fun, let's start a riot. That's what they did. Yeah? Caused problems. And, as a result of that, what happens is lost my place.
They
rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas. Why did they go to Jason's house? Because that's where he was staying. Paul was staying in Jason's house. Somebody told them, and so they thought, yeah, we'll go and sort him out. Yeah, let's go down there. So that's where they went. They ran in order to bring him out to the crowd. And what was the crowd going to do?
Rough him
up. That was the idea, yeah. But when they did not find them, that was Paul and Silas, yeah, they dragged Jason and some other brothers before the city officials. So they grabbed whoever was there, Jason and some other brothers. So there's Christians who become believers already. That's what it means by brothers, they're believers, yeah? So they grabbed Jason and some people who were around they could get hold of, and they took them in front of the city officials, shouting. They don't talk reasonably, it's shouting. These men have caused trouble all over the world and now come here. And Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are all defying Caesar's decree, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus.
Not mine.
It's her.
I can't turn it down yet.
You can't turn it down. Well, I feel I could do it. Stamp on it.
No, I can't work it out at the minute.
Turn it off.
It's alright, it won't ring again.
Are you sure?
She said.
Exactly. Now, where were we? They've got Jason and his mates in front of the authorities. Yeah? And they say, these guys are troublemakers. They're the troublemakers, not Jason and his friends. But they say they've welcomed these people who are, what are they doing? Turning the world upside down. How about that? They obviously have got the message that these people are changing things fast. God's at work with them. And in fact, that was one of the criticisms about the Christians in the very early centuries. These people are changing everything, turning the world upside down. Oh, the Christians wouldn't do that these days, eh?
It won't go again.
It won't go again. Promise. He's done it already.
No, it's all right.
And do we believe it? Shall we have a vote on whether we believe it or not? Well, there we are.
Sorry.
Judge Judy would have had told them off, wouldn't she?
Judge Judy. Oh, would she? All right. I wouldn't know, but I'll give you a word for it, yeah? That's what they say. And the crunch bit is they're causing problems, that they're saying, and this is the political angle, this is the one that they're using as their lever, they're saying that there's another king, and it's not Caesar, it's Jesus. Mm. Yeah? And that was the real crunch, because problems with Caesars are, they want to be top dog. We don't have other kings around here. I'm in charge. No other kings. That's the problem with kings, you see. They all want to be on their own. Well, when the Christians were saying, we've got another king called Jesus, right? He wasn't going to topple Caesar. They were worshipping Caesar. No, they weren't. They were worshipping Jesus. And so Caesar didn't like it. Yeah. And you know, I say that. Things haven't changed. What's the problem in China for the authorities with the Christians? They think they're being undermined. The Christians in China, for example, I mean there are other parts of the world as well, the Christians in China are probably some of their best citizens. Mm. Law-abiding, hard-working, do their stuff, keep their noses clean, live ordinary, decent lives, yes? But the final authority for them is God. And the rulers, the Politburo or wherever they are, they want to be God. So, they persecute the Christians, who are the best citizens they've got. Nothing's changed. Caesar's got the same problem there. Right, so on we go. So they grab these guys, take them in front of the magistrates, and said they're advocating customs that they shouldn't be doing. Right, so let's find out. I've lost my place again.
Verse 8.
Aha, right. When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. Then they put Jason and others on bail and let them go. So, they got some money out of them.
Wow.
And let them go. Yes. It's a nice way of earning some money, isn't it?
Yeah.
Parking fines, all that sort of stuff. Nothing's changed, you know. Yeah. How do you extract your money? That's how it goes,
yeah?
So, as soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. That's going down the road, further south. That's where they're off, yeah? On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Why do they go there? That's where the Jews are. Why do they go to the Jews? Yeah. Yes. But there's another, well, I mean,
to
the
Jews. First.
They went there first, yes.
They know why? The background.
It's the easiest place to go in one sense. Mm.
Because you say that Paul and Silas were running away?
No. They were sent away. The disciples said...
Well, who's in charge?
God's in charge.
Yeah.
Right.
So what did God say?
He said, I've started a church here. Thessalonica is on its way. Mm. There are brothers there. Mm. People are working for God now. Right. Paul, you've done your job. Move on.
So make a withdrawal.
Yeah. That's strategic right. Withdrawal.
Yeah.
And it happens in the next place. In fact, the other disciples stay, or the other apostles stay, and Paul is sent away. Because wherever Paul goes, there's a riot.
Yeah.
He stirred people up so much. It wasn't Paul that did it. The devil wanted Paul stopped. Because Paul was so effective in telling people the good news about Jesus, that was the last thing the devil wanted. So cause a riot, get him kicked out. That's the way he works, yeah? So, here goes. Paul goes down to a place called Berea, and he goes to the synagogue, because that's where the people are who've heard the good, or got some idea to start with, yeah? And we get to there, on arriving there, he went to the Jewish synagogue. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness, and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. And many of the Jews believed, as did a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. So things are doing well in Berea. He gets there and he says the community there, the Jewish believers, or the Jewish people, were of more noble character. What he mean by that is that they were prepared to give Paul a hearing and listen to what he had to say before they started throwing stones at him. Yeah? We'll hear what he's got to say and we'll see if what he says is right. And how did they find out whether what he said was right or not?
They went to the
Bibles. They went to their Bibles. And what were their Bibles?
The
Old Testament. Mm-hmm. Yeah? It's something that struck me. I'm going to be speaking a little bit about this on Saturday, yeah? One of the interesting things is that if you've got the Holy Spirit to guide you, the Old Testament backs up the New Testament.
Yeah?
They didn't have a New Testament. Paul comes along and says all this about Jesus and what's going to happen to the Messiah and all this, and they go along and flick through their Bibles and read up where they can what Paul's mentioned to them, and they check it out. And there's two good things about that. Is, first of all, their Bible's good enough to get them to Jesus.
Yeah.
Hmm? And the second is that they're not afraid to question whether Paul's got it right or not.
Yeah.
And I guarantee Paul was, his socks were glowing with joy. Yeah, that here are people who check out what he says with the Bible, because he knows if they check it out with the Bible, they're going to find out it's true.
Would it have been a scroll Bible?
Yeah, I assume they got those, yes. I don't know if they were personal copies of the things, no.
Yeah.
They were on scrolls in those days, monster things, weren't
they? Yeah, pulled that down in the
yeah, so they check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we know what argument Paul used? Does it
say yes, we'll come to it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see that. Yeah, how he proved that they... Well, let's just a few. How do you know that the Messiah has to die and rise again? How do you know he has to die?
He
said, well, which bit of the Old Testament does he die in?
Isaiah
53, for example.
Yeah.
He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, yeah, and the punishment that was on him was for our sins, not himself. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then Psalm 22, they pierced my hands and my feet, sort of thing. So there are bits and bobs we could pull out, you know, we won't go into all of it now, but yeah, there's plenty there if you know where to look.
Yeah.
And they've been studying their Old Testaments a long time, so they didn't call them Old Testaments. There's a lovely joke by Helen Shapiro on that one, isn't there? Yeah?
Okay.
Yeah? She went into a she'd just become a believer, Messianic Jewish girl, yeah? She'd just become a believer and she went to a Jewish bookshop and said to the chap, can I have an Old Testament? And he said, how old? It's not Old Testament to them. See? The Bible.
Yeah,
fair enough. Alright. Now, where have we got to?
Chapter 13.
Yeah, we're on chapter 17. Good, yes. So a lot of people become believers. Christians, yeah? And then, When the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God in Berea, they went there too, agitating the crowds and stirring them up. How about that? Isn't it interesting how hostile they are to Paul?
Yeah.
Yeah? I mean, they're going out of there, they're going 30, 40 miles or so to go and cause trouble somewhere else because Paul's not there first. That just shows how, it's not just human, it's the devil that works stirring people up to be anti-Paul. That's what it's about. Yeah? And what happens there? The brothers immediately sent Paul to the coast. So, Paul, it's time you're on your way. You've done your job. But it says, but Silas and Timothy stayed at Berea. So, obviously they're in less danger. And they stay there to organise things, I guess. That's what's going on for a little while. Yeah. The men who escorted Paul brought him to Athens and then left with instructions for Silas and Timothy to join him as soon as possible. They escorted Paul. Why did they escort him?
Safe.
Protection is one.
Make sure we left.
To learn as well.
To learn, yes. But there is a thing that's mentioned about Paul in Galatians. He talked about his eyes. He had problems with his eyesight. Yeah, he said, you know, if it were possible, you'd have plucked your eyes out and given them to me. So we guess he had some eye issue. I don't know what it was, but anyway, that's a guess. Okay. So maybe he needed help. Mm. That's the thought. Anyway, he needed protection. God protects him, but he uses people. So they make sure he gets to Athens nice and safe. And they leave him there. And they've got instructions for the other apostles to come and join him, his team, when they can. So Paul's left on his own in Athens. Now this is the interesting bit we've got to now, yeah? While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. What it means is, as he walked around the place, you couldn't turn your eyes anywhere, but you saw these statues all over the place. Yeah? And they weren't just statues for decoration, these were things that people were kissing and putting little pots of flowers and stuff at them, you know. They were worshipping them. So there were idols all over the place. Paul sees these. And it upsets him. Because he knows it's a waste of time. Yeah, there's one God. We don't need all this other stuff. So it's really upsetting. It's got him worried about what to do. And what does he do? So, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews. So he went to the Jews first, yes? Started talking to them, but they didn't need persuading that the idols were a waste of time. But at least he went there because they needed to know about Jesus. Yeah? And the God-fearing Greeks, he spoke to them. They were in the synagogue as well. And, what else? As well in the marketplace, day by day, with those who happened to be there. So after he'd been to the synagogue and spoken there, he goes into the town, into the marketplaces, you know, where people sell the meats and the foods and all the other stuff, as we have, marketplaces.
He wasn't ready to go, was he?
Yeah. And he tries to get in a conversation with people. Yeah, I'm sure he was praying like mad, Lord, who do I talk to here now? You know, get starting a conversation with people. That's what Paul wanted to do.
Yeah.
And he does. Gets talking to people, and we find out there's a bunch of them that are interested. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to dispute with him. Now that doesn't mean to say they were arguing away, but they were discussing. Debates, yeah, talking, bouncing ideas, yeah.
That'd be Plato.
People like that, yes. Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. These are the Greek people who had certain ways of doing things. What do the Stoic ones do? What were they well known for? They are the stiff upper lip people.
Yeah.
The Stoic ones are you keep going, stiff upper lip type people, yeah? I mean, they're not entirely believers in God or anything like that, but you know, you've got the idea. Stiff upper lip, you tuck it out. That's their philosophy. And then the Epicureans were? Eat, drink and be merry, life's a ball. Yeah? So you've got the playboys, yeah? And you've got the stiff upper lip people, and they're all having a go at Paul as to what it's all about. Because they're interested. Well, looks like it. And he says this about them, all these people over here, says, they said, some of them asked, what is this babbler trying to say? Because they thought he's talking off the top of his hat. You know, some strange things he's getting up to. Yeah. Others remarked, he seems to be advocating foreign gods. So So he said, because the gods they have heard of, you know, they got plenty of gods, but this was a new one, yeah, as far as they're concerned, yeah. They said this because, and they used the word foreign gods, plural, see? Because, they said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, to understand what's going on there, you need to know Greek. Well, they were Greeks, because he's talking to them in Greek, yeah? He was talking to them about Jesus and Anastasia. Anastasia is the resurrection. Yeah. That's the Greek word for resurrection. Yeah. Paul is talking about Jesus and Anastasia. And they hear this and think, two gods. Mm-hmm. A male god and a female god. Mm-hmm. That's what they thought. Yeah, yeah, so that's a little bit, well, that's because they're pagans. They've no idea. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So resurrection, and if they'd understood what Paul meant, as we'll see, they'd have laughed their heads off, as you'll see in a moment. So he's talking about this, Jesus and Anastasia, the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to the meeting of the Areopagus. So rather than talking around in the marketplace, it's a bit noisy, there's stuff going on all around. We want to get down to this, we want to see what's going on, yeah? So they take him to the Areopagus. Where's the Areopagus? It's a big meeting, it's a big council place, yeah? And do you know where it is? It's in Greece, in Athens. Have you seen the Acropolis?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's next door to that. It was next door to that. Yeah, sorry?
Is there any ruins left now?
I have no idea, I haven't been there.
All right.
I assume there's something, there's got to be some sort of stuff there, isn't there?
A blue flag.
Yeah, a blue plaque. Paul was here. Maybe not. Anyway. Yeah, it's next door to the Acropolis and all the big statues and all the stuff that's all around the place. Yeah? So this is his theatre that he's going to be speaking in. And we told now then, it says they got him there so they could talk a bit more about it, yeah? And they said this, may we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears and we want to know what they mean. All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Times haven't changed. 24-hour news. These are these people. They want to know what's happening all the time. Tell us something new. You know, give us something more. New. That's what we want, yeah? That's all we're interested in. Talking. They're not going to be doing anything. Just talking.
Exactly.
Well, they're the Bible, aren't they? Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, people haven't changed. We've got people like this now, you know. When I look at the 24-hour news channels, you know, I think, yeah, good grief, they're slogging themselves, going round and round and round, yeah, the same old stuff, until they get a new story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so
it's
all the news is all
dead. Yeah, well, these guys here, see? Yeah. And these are clever people, you know, the Greeks, intelligent people. Just shows how dumb you'd be, being intelligent, doesn't it? That's all they were doing. Anyway, Paul then stood up at the meeting of the Areopagus and said, now he's going to tell them what they need to know. Mm-hmm. Men of Athens. So he's treating them with respect. Yeah. Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious.
Oh.
Yeah? Because he says, for as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I found an altar with this inscription to an unknown god. So he says, and he's not insulting them, he says, I can see you're really religious people. I mean, you've got gods right, left and centre everywhere. And this, of course, is a summary. Paul talks a bit longer than this, I'm sure. This is just a summary, you can say this in a few minutes. Unless you've got me telling it, yeah? But he's giving a summary. He says, I walked around and I looked and you've got gods all over the place. And do you know what I found while I was walking around? I found one altar there and it had this inscription on it. To an unknown god. Do you know why they put an inscription to an unknown, why they built an altar to an unknown god? It's the just in case bit, yeah? Yeah. Well, you see, people, they think that there's all these gods all around there to get you, cause problems. And what you have to do is you have to offer offerings to them to get them on your side. Yeah? And when something bad happens, you think, oh, I missed one out. Yeah? So, which god have I got to sort out this time? So some wise guy thought, we'll have it covered. To the unknown one. The one we forgot. Yeah? That's what Paul has seen. To the unknown god. But Paul sees it as an opportunity. So he says, Now what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you.
Yeah.
Now, I want to ask you this question. If Paul said that today, in a group of intellectuals, what would they say to him? Now what you worship as something unknown, I'm going to tell you about. Wouldn't they say, arrogant so-and-so, who does he think he is, to tell us what we don't know?
Yeah.
Yeah? But if you do know something that they don't know, it's not arrogance to tell them.
Yeah,
but he knows. I know what you don't know, but I want you to know it as well. That's what he's getting at. So I'm going to tell you all about this unknown God. And so this is the message for pagans. Yeah. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. So he starts. His message is, there's one God, not a thousand gods, one God who made up there and down here. Yeah? He's the God who created everything. Now we've got problems today, brothers and sisters, because we are taught it all happened by accident, it evolved out of the slime, and all these things just happened by accident. Yeah? But Paul would turn up to these people and say, there's God, he made it, and he is the one that you have to turn to. Right? So I've got news for you young lads as well, yeah? Remember this, yeah? It didn't just happen 18 million years ago, yeah? God was in charge. It didn't happen by accident. Someone said, the chances of life appearing on Earth are about the same as a jumbo jet occurring from an explosion at a scrapyard. Yeah? It's even worse than that, of course, yeah? It doesn't happen. Accidents don't produce good stuff. He says, God, the one God, made it all. He's in charge of the creation. So he's got them off to a good start. The Lord is a Lord of heaven and earth. He does not live in temples built by hands. And as he's speaking, he can point to the Acropolis and all the others around the city. He says, have you noticed God doesn't live in those? Not the God I'm talking about. Yeah? You can't box this God in. He's bigger than you thought. Yeah, that's a good point. Your God is bigger than you, not my God, is bigger than yours. Yeah, it's lots bigger. And, he says this, he does not live in temples built by human hands, and he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Because they were bringing all these sacrifices to feed their God. Yeah? You put animal sacrifices and stuff on all these altars to feed, they assumed they were feeding their gods. God doesn't need to be fed. He feeds you.
Yeah.
Yeah? He's got all the energy he'll ever need. He doesn't need to have any more by eating anything. So he doesn't need fed. That's what he said. So no point serving him. You've got it wrong on that one. He's not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. So God's the God that has provided for you. You got that? Important, yeah. From one, now he's getting the Bible story, but he's not telling them Bible. He gives them what the message of the Bible, but he's not quoting the Bible. From one man he made every nation of men that should inhabit the whole earth. That's a quick summary of Genesis chapter 1.
Yeah.
Yeah. From one man. Well, that's a really important verse. I mean, now we can go on. What's important about God making every human being from one man? Yeah, that's one of the things. Yeah.
Common ancestry.
Common ancestry. What was the Greeks' problem?
Yeah.
We're superior. We are a race apart. We're superior people. And he's just saying it. We're all in this together. Yeah. We all come from the same stock. Yeah. You just need to know that, dear boys. Yeah. We're all in this together. We come from the same God. God made one man, and he's created the human race from that. Yeah. So, I'm sorry, but you're related to me, Janice. It's great, isn't it? Somewhere along the line, in the distance, yeah. Hopefully more distant than not.
I've got
blue blood. Oh, you? Oh, very good, right, okay. Well, we're all related. Somewhere back there, we've come from the same place, yeah. Ultimately from one man, Adam. Yeah. That's important, yeah. So people aren't, one person is more important than anybody else. We're all in this together, yeah. And he worked out that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live.
Wow.
What's that telling you? God's in charge. He's working out where things happen, where people start, where they finish, and all of this stuff, yeah? God's in charge. So he said, there's one God, he's made everything, he's bigger than you are, and he's in charge. They're pretty good things to know about God to start with, aren't they? God did this. Now, why did he do that? God did this so that men would seek him, and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us.
I've never really... Well, I use the seeking bit with quite a lot of things, I say.
Yeah.
I've never noticed that verse before.
Hmm.
That's really good.
God has made everything
because
he wants you and me to know him. He wants you and me to reach out to him and find him. That's what he's saying, yeah? In other words, he's telling us, this God's big, he's in charge of everything, but he cares about you. He wants to know you, and he wants you to know him. Yeah, that's what he's saying to them, yeah? God's done this so that you can reach out to him, and he says, but he's not far from any one of us. He's just taught one of the great teachings of the Bible, which he's not taught them Bible stuff, but he's saying God's everywhere.
Mm.
Isn't he? Mm. He's everywhere. You can find him wherever you're looking, if you look. Right? In the right way.
What do you call that when you're seeing things further on, when you from experience, and then come back to the source?
It's a light bulb moment or something. I don't know. There you are. Yeah, so what we've got is, he says, reaching out to him, though he's not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. In other words, God is over everything, but he's looking after us, he's providing for us, he's giving us life, he's God that cares about us. And then he quotes this, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring.
Yeah?
What Paul's doing, he's not quoting one verse of the Bible. Of course they haven't got the Bible. No idea what the Bible is. Yeah? But he's quoted one of their poets, a Greek poet. And he says, you know, that guy got the idea. We are brought to life from God. I mean, he was using, it was Zeus that the writer, the poet was talking about. But he's saying, God, the one God, is the God that's provided for us and brought his life. And he's using their poets because he wants them to be on his side, so he's quoting their people.
Yeah,
that's the idea, you know. He's not trying to alienate them, he's trying to show them that it's the God that they were trying to reach out to, their poets are reaching out. Why don't you do the same? That's up, what he said. Now then, we get to the next bit. Therefore. What's the therefore, therefore?
Therefore,
yeah, it's a connection. You see, these guys, all they want to do is listen to the latest ideas, 24-hour news, you know, this thing, that thing, something new, something smart, yeah? And when they listen to it all, they get up and go home, makes no difference, yeah? Paul is going to show them, what I've just told you, it requires you to do something about it, yeah? There is a therefore, yeah? There are consequences. There's something to do with what I've just told you, yeah? And that's what the message of the gospel is. It's not just telling you good news. It tells you do something about it. You got to.
Do something.
Yeah. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, yeah, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. If we are made by God, then God must be bigger and more alive than we are.
Yeah.
He's not stone and silver and junk. He's alive, he's real. Yeah? So he's saying, don't start thinking that God can be manufactured by cutting up bits of metal and stones and things like that. He's not like that. In the past, he says, you worship God like, your gods you like that, yeah? And in the past, God overlooked such ignorance. He's let you go your own ways. He's left you to it. Yeah? But now, he commands all people everywhere to repent. So, boys, you've got to do something. You've got to repent. Well, what's repent mean?
Then sorry.
It's partly that.
Take us back.
Yeah. The word repent in the original language means to change your mind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? He says, you're going to have to change your mind, lads. You're going to have to change your mind from thinking what was okay, you suddenly find out it's not okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah? It's worshipping idols is wrong.
Yeah.
That's okay, that's not okay. You turn around and you start worshipping God. That's repentance. You turn from something to something. So you're turning from the wrong stuff to God. That's what repent means. Yeah? So God's command, and it's God's commanded people to do that. Yeah?
You
it's an order.
You do get an awakening when you come to Christ, don't you?
Mm. Sorry?
I said you do get an awakening when you come
to Christ. An awakening, well yes, yes. Well that's right. Because you were in the dark once and now he's turned the light on. Yeah? So he's commanded all men everywhere to repent. So it's not just for you Greeks, it's for everybody in the world. That's what God's command is to people. And why did he tell them to repent? Because what they're doing will mess them up, and if they turn from it, it'll do them good.
Yeah.
He's not there to spoil your fun. Yeah. He's there to do you good. Mm. You got the point, yeah? And so, he says this, he has, and there's an interesting bit here, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. This is really important. Again, what he's saying is, it's no good just sitting there listening to stuff and doing nothing. You have to act. You have to do something. But I'm telling you, the things that you do, you are responsible for. If you mess up, spoil things, ruin things, kill, murder, lie, cheat and all that stuff, the days are coming when you're going to stand before this God who made you and everything else, and he's going to point to you all the stuff you've done wrong. Yeah? He's a set a day when he'll judge the world with justice by the man he's appointed. That's scary, isn't it? Yeah, but it's true. Yeah? He's going to judge the world with justice. And where does God get his justice from? It's what God thinks is right and wrong. It's not what you... We can have a vote. Shall we have a vote? We'll decide what's right and wrong.
I'm very Athenian.
Yeah. But it won't work.
The thing then is that before you come to know Christ,
yes,
the things that you were doing, you didn't know there was.
But no.
You know.
Yeah. Oh, we could vote on it and say, well, that's fine. Everybody does that. It's okay.
Although yeah. Well, no, I think no. You probably do a little bit.
Conscience can work. Yeah.
I don't think so. I think.
Well, what I'm getting at is that God has said today when he's going to get everybody in the world and say, now then, what about? What about? Mm. Yeah. And it's going to be with justice. If someone set you up, yeah, you won't be accused of that. Yeah? The one that set you up will be accused of setting you up. But what you've done, you can't, you answer for. That's worrying, isn't it?
Isn't this probably about the first time that I've noticed in most of the ancient religions that there was ever going to be an end to it, or there was going to be a...
No, that's right. Yeah, the Hindus have a constant cycle going on too. Yeah, yeah. No, there's a judgment day, it means you've got to do something.
Yeah. This is new information to them, it's going to end one day and you are going to be destroyed.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah.
They would have carried on believing in adding to
there's an end point, you've got to do something about this. He says, so he's appointed by the, he says he's set a day when he'll judge the world. When's that day? We don't know. It's in the future for us, it's in the future for them. But the days are coming. When Jesus comes back as king, he's going to judge the world. And he says he's set this day and he's appointed the judge. We know the name of the judge.
Yeah,
that won't be judgment before we became to know God, would it? That's all gone.
Wait for this. You're getting a bit ahead of me here, Ron, yeah? Yeah? The day of judgment is coming. Yeah? And we know the name of the judge. What's his name?
Jesus.
He's appointed the man, Jesus, to be the judge.
Nobody can get to me unless it comes through Jesus.
Right, yes. But Jesus is going to be the judge. But when you come before the judge, who's forgiven all your sins, what's he going to say to you? Not guilty.
Yeah?
Yeah? Because you've asked God for forgiveness, you've repented, you are able to stand before God because of what Jesus has done. And God can say, not guilty. Because you've been cleansed, forgiven. Yeah? That's what he wants to tell them.
Yeah. Even if you've done bad things after you come to know God.
Well, yeah. It's covered by the blood of Jesus.
You can go off and do odd things.
You can go off and do odd things, but I'm telling you, you'll suffer for it.
Yeah. Well,
there are consequences.
You're in or you're out.
Well, it's not that you're in or out. It's not that you're in or out. You lose a reward.
Yeah.
But also, if you, I mean, David, one classic one with David. David messed up big time. Yes? Right? He repented. The prophet came to him and said, God's forgiven you for what you've done. But I've got news for you, David. For the rest of your life, your family life's going to be a total mess. Because what he did has consequences on earth. But once we're into the heaven scene, that's all behind. Right. So the point isn't that...
That when we come to Christ, he forgives all our sins.
Yes, past, present and future.
But it doesn't mean that, I mean, you know, we haven't captured every thought. We haven't done this.
No, the process is going on.
But they are forgiven, but we need to try, if we really care what Jesus thinks, we want to keep a short run.
Yes.
That if we do go wrong, he says if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just.
Right.
I think if you're born again and you sin, it is more uncomfortable.
Well, it will be, yes.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sorry, you've set me onto something that's important now on this one. There are two words in terms of salvation for becoming a believer and living as a Christian. The first one is justification. Yeah? That's when God says, not guilty. He justifies you. He says, you're right. You're okay. You are justified. And that happens the moment you put your trust in Jesus. You are forgiven and the score is counted out. All the things against you, cancelled out. Sorry?
He took the punishment.
He took the punishment. So you are justified. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you'll never be more justified in the future than you are now.
Yeah.
If God said forgiven, forgiven is what it is.
Well, what's it all about when you get to heaven and you're going to be questioned? You're going to see that young guy who's going to sit there and he's going to say, right.
No. That's for the person that hasn't put their trust in Jesus. Yeah? We're coming to that, yeah? Right. So, justification's one. And then the second thing that's really important is the thing called sanctification. I'm sorry, all these technical terms. But what sanctification means is that God is putting in you what he said is true of you. It's true of you in Jesus. I mean, let me use this idea. He puts the coat on you. That's Jesus. Right? But the coat doesn't stay on you. It gets in you. And that's sanctification. You start thinking Jesus' way. You start wanting to please Jesus. It's Jesus working in you, and he's on the outside covering you. Yeah? And those two things are going on.
I'll set for that.
Yeah?
And then it goes on to what you said this morning, that we will get that perfection when
we will be perfect one day, yes.
When we get to heaven, yeah.
Now, I don't know whether Paul explained all that or not, but he did say the day is coming when God's appointed the king, you're going to have to answer for your deeds. And I'm sure he was going to say, a bit after that, and you can know forgiveness if you ask forgiveness from God.
Yeah?
And then you won't have to pay for what you've done, because he's already paid for it.
Yeah.
He didn't get the chance to say that. He said this. He says, God's appointed a man called Jesus. He didn't tell us here, but we know that what it is, yeah? in the past, God overlooked such ignorance. Now he commands all people everywhere to repent, for he set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He's given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. Right? So he's saying is that this person, this king, this judge, he's been raised from the dead. Well, we know that, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus died and rose again. Yeah? But when they heard that, what did they think?
It's impossible.
Yeah. He's off his rocker.
Mm.
Yeah? Because the Greeks of those days are like the people of today who don't know God. When you're dead, you're finished. That's how it is, isn't it?
Yeah?
When you're dead, you're finished. I've heard people say, I've never seen anybody come back. Yeah? One has, and one's enough, but there are others besides that the Lord has raised up, of course. Yeah? But, yeah, when you're dead, you're done for. That's the Greeks. So, when they hear someone talking about somebody coming back from the dead, I mean, crackers, isn't it? Yeah? If you went to the hospital, and say to somebody, do you know, people can come back from the dead. They chuck you out, won't they?
Notify you.
Sorry? Lock you up, yeah. Because they're Greeks. Yeah. They think like Greeks.
Even when it happens, they don't believe it.
Well, yeah.
They try and make some...
Some alternative explanation, yes.
If you get 2 days in the morgue, and as soon as you start breathing again, and it's not a miracle, it's just...
In a state of suspended animation or something. Yeah, right, okay. Anyway, when Paul said, so you know why Jesus was dead in the tomb for 3 days? Well, 2 days as it turns out, but yeah. Why the 3 days important? Because it means you're really dead.
Yeah.
You're really dead by the time you've been in there for several days. Yeah, that's right, okay. Yeah, you got the idea. But he rose, that's the point. Yeah. So, now last bit. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, so they now know what anastasia means. Yeah? When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered. Yeah? He's a peace rocker. That's what they're saying. Yeah? But others said, we want to hear you again on this subject. So some of them said, well, it's a bit of a strange thing this. We'd like to know some more about this. Fill us in a bit more. Yeah? I'll come to that in a moment. The type of reaction that happens, yeah? At that, Paul left the council, so he'd done what he could say for the moment, yeah? A few men became followers of Paul and believed. Notice, when he went to the synagogues and the God-fearers, lots of them believed. But in the pagan setting, these people have got their heads so twisted and confused, it's going to take a lot of straightening out before they turn to God. So only a few of them got it to start with, yeah? A few of them believed. Among them was Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, and a woman named Damaris, and a number of others. So there weren't many. Right? One was this lady called Damaris, and the other guy was called Dionysius. And you know what Dionysius is? It's Dennis in Greek. Yes. It's Dennis in Greek. That's where my name comes from. Yes. And he was a member of the Areopagus. He was one of the crusty ones up the top there, you know. Yeah. So a good pedigree, you know.
Yeah.
But he believed. Now, just in finishing, I want to say this. When we share the gospel with people who have got no idea at all, you'll get three reactions. Is what exactly what happened then or happened now. One reaction is, they're stupid people, these, aren't they? Have you ever had people, I can remember sharing with one guy when I was working at Spillers, it was at lunchtime, and talked to him about Jesus, and he saw this smirk come over his face, and I knew he was thinking, this guy's lost the plot, he's a complete nutter. Mm. So that's one reaction, sneer.
Yeah.
Yeah?
What about the bloke when we went to the, get them things from that shop, and he said, tell him to get off his...
Oh yeah, same, yeah, sneering, yeah, mocking, yeah, right, so that's one, yeah. The second reaction is, some people will say, hey, this is strange stuff, I need to think about this. And that's a genuine reaction. You should allow people time to make their decisions. We're not here to force people to become Christians, they need to think it through for themselves, and let God work in their hearts. Mm. So there are those who will say, well, I need time, I need more time. Mm. Yeah? Fine, no problem. Mm. Yeah. And then there's the third group, praise the Lord, they say, I've got it, you're right. Mm. I believe in Jesus. Yeah? Mm. And that's how it works. Yeah? So that's the gospel to the pagans. Funny people, pagans. But I was there once, I was a pleasant pagan once. Yeah? And God have mercy on me. He can do it for us. So, you see, there are two Dennises in the list now, at least.
Right. The Greek women must have been very important.
Yes.
Because they mentioned it.
Oh, yes, there. Yeah, these were downcast, slavery type things, yeah. These were really prominent business women.
Because it mentions them.
Yes. And the interesting thing about the gospel is it raised women to a really important point in society that they had a significant role to play in the church. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll leave it at that. Mm-hmm. Now, whether we'll get there, I don't know if we'll do this. Oh, next week, there won't be a Sunday school. There won't be an SDF. There won't be an SDF because there's a meeting at St. Mary's for the Kairos thing.
Amen.
Yeah. So that's why there won't be one here next Sunday evening, yeah? But God willing, the following week, mm-hmm. we're going to Sin City.
Oh,
that's Corinth. Well, yeah, all right, Corinth is Beach. Yeah, nothing new under the sun. Corinth could beat Whiz Beach, hands down, I'm sure he could. Yeah?
Yeah.
But Corinth is an amazing place as well. Yeah, so we'll leave it at that. How do you reach pagans? Well, you to tell them, it's no good quoting Bible verses at them all the time.
Mm.
That comes later, yeah? But it's telling them that there's a God who made you, he cares about you, and you're going to have to face him one day, and you better do something about it. That's where the starting point is. It's sharing the gospel with people who've got no idea.
I was sharing on Saturday with two nurses about the Christian conference that I'm going to at the end of January.
Yeah.
And one of them, I give out the UTV books to all of them.
Yeah.
But one of them, when I tried to give her a UCB book, no, I don't believe. She's a lovely girl.
Yeah, I'm sure she is, yeah.
She's a lovely girl.
Yeah.
And as we were talking, I could see her face get this really stony look on it.
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah, but I don't care.
No, yeah. Yes, how the
down, ever so much, you know, because...
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, I was talking about how excited I was about it because obviously.
Well, you know what they're thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're
see,
okay.
You see it on her face.
That's the trouble.
Yeah.
If you talk about it too much, they'll just think you're a nutter.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You're a fruit loop.
Well, I'll be a fruit case for Jesus. That's
yeah,
all right.
I don't care.
I'm happy with it. Yes. They'll see that. I've got something they haven't got, that's
yeah.
I can't think of it, it's been the crayon, it's only got the one and the things to blow the trumpets, does it say?
Exactly, exactly,
so
wrong, yes.
I'm raw about it.